Thank you for tuning in to Lighten Up with Jen and Sherry. This show is an invitation to let go of what's holding you down, laugh more, and love like crazy. If you've tuned in live to this episode, please call in now and be a part of the show. Our number is area code 646-200-0825. And now, flying solo for today is our hostess, Jen.
Hello, and welcome to Lighten Up with Jen and Sherry, except for today. I'm kind of flying solo as far as Sherry's not on the phone with me, but I'm not really solo because Angie Milgate's going to be with me. Yay, the crowd goes wild. Welcome to the show. Oh, my dear people, listeners, you are getting me in rare form today. I think I've actually blitzed my own circuits. I think I've gone over my own deep end. And this week has been quite a ride. The shows have been amazing. There's amazing content. The last couple days have been a real tender yet deliberate exploration about some of my most personal stories and teaching experiences from my time with my children that demonstrate inner work and some of the patterns that I see. And the metaphors that are used are about having knots in their fishing line or in their embroidery thread, and how they can teach us so much about what our skill set is and where we stop in the progress, and if we ever figure out that it's not about cutting the knot away, it's not about untying the knot, but it's actually about learning what created the knot that brings a change to our life. And applying that to inner work, applying that to your healing, applying that to any area of your life where you want true transformation is so key. And the conversations I've had, the amazing bravery that I've experienced with listeners and clients who are willing to face the knots that they're creating and start asking the questions and start addressing it, and start looking at what they don't really want to look at, but they kind of want to look at it, but they know they got to look at it, and it's really uncomfortable, has reflected to me that these topics are hitting home. And so when it came time to decide on the show today, and I knew I was going to talk about some of these sabotage patterns, and I was going to talk directly about it, I just couldn't help myself from, you know, poking a stick at dear Angie and saying, yeah, this is what I'm talking about today. You want to come and talk about it? And here's why. Angie has been she's been my buddy and the closest thing to a full-time witness to my entire journey in the inner work world. And as a friend, but also as somebody that I trust to go to for healing, who I've supported her, she supported me, and we've kind of been on a similar roller coaster during parts of it, that there is nobody that I would, besides Sherry, and even then she doesn't have the long history, that I would bring on for this particular topic and this particular discussion than her. And the reason is she can call me on my crap and I call her on her crap, and we are really committed to catching our sabotage, even when we're surprised that it slipped under the radar for years. It's just our commitment. It's part of our friendship. And so that's why I was like, hey, Ange. And she was, thankfully, gracefully, she was like, yeah, sure, why not? I'll join you. This ought to be a fun conversation. So sit back and carefully decide when you're going to take drinks of your beverage, because this could be, it's possible, this could be a very snarky conversation for Angie and I, because the truth is we know where all the skeletons are and we know how to rattle the cages. So without any further ado, I am going to bring Angie to the phone line. Good morning, Angie.
Good morning.
Pretty safe to say that this is kind of where we are and what brings us together. We had a conversation the other day that was all about, Angie, tell me what I'm not seeing. You know?
Yep.
part of it
this week.
Yeah, we have. We sure have. Oh my gosh, Angie, I didn't go to the chat room yet. We got people in the chat room. What's happening?
I know.
The chat room's alive.
I did the secret handshake, Friday. It let me in.
You did the right passcode. Good job. Oh my gosh, it's good to see friends in the chat room. Hello in the chat room. So, hey, there's a good time going on in the chat room. You're welcome to join. people over there, this is going to be a good ride. So let's start with just the very beginning of what actually was a very lighthearted introduction to you and me. And yet, if people were paying attention, they would recognize it's actually one of the best tools that you can have on board to stop sabotaging mm-hmm. your healing and your inner work. Okay? Mm-hmm. And that is, do you have your go-to to say, I know I'm not aware of everything that's going on. I need another perspective. I am fully aware that something's happening that I'm not aware of. Do you have somebody to call that is close enough that you would listen to, that is here, you know, that you know, you don't have to go into long explanation. You know they're going to know your bullshit signs. You know that they're going to say what they need to say. And you've ridden the go to hell, you know, friendship or coaching connection long enough that you know when they do that, you're going to go, I hate when you're right, but you don't take it personally. Yeah, that's an actual mm-hmm. tool. So for those of you who are listening, that's your number one tip for the day. Make a little note. Who's your person? Who's your person?
Oh.
And that's literally what I call Angie. It's, you know, if those of you who are Grey's Anatomy fans, you know that's a big, that means that friend, that person you go to no matter what, they are your person. And Angie's my person. And so, oh my goodness. Yeah. All she does is giggle. Charlene's liking your giggling on the phone line. So, Angie, where do you want to start? We're talking about sabotage. We're talking about what we see in ourselves and others. She just keeps laughing. It's going to be good. Where? Let's just pick our favorite. Okay, so, hey, Angie, what's your personal best sabotage pattern? We'll talk about ourselves first so people don't feel so butthurt when we go to other topics.
I wanted to share a metaphor that came up when you were talking about having someone that can help you see. There is a saying that you can't see the forest, or it's hard to see, or you can't see the forest through the trees. And I've taken that a step further in my work in that it's even more difficult to see the trees when you are the tree. You can't see yourself as the tree. To be seen, you have to be seen through other people's eyes. So for me, I start noticing when I'm not in sabotage, I start noticing repetitive patterns around me, and I will call Jen and say, hey, I've got this person, and this person around me displaying all the same pattern in different aspects of their life. Where am I not seeing it in mine? And what has come to light for me as apparently being a well-practiced and lovely sabotaging ability of mine is to use my God eyes to override my human experience while being 100% present for the experience that I'm having. So what that means is I'm able to see the truth, the divinity of a situation. And this is, for me, this has been all centered around abuse. That is what work I do, is to help people heal their abuse. And so for me, experiencing abuse, I've experienced it from a spiritually enlightened place of being while being physically present to get my ass kicked. And being fully aware of the entire process while being in spiritual override. It's quite genius, if I do say so myself.
It really is. It really is, because one thing Sherry and I were talking about this last night. You know, it's a good night when you're doing the Ego Essence complete program that I teach now, not even what was taught in 2012, but the complete program now, and you're talking about it, and you start bringing up using the tools as weapons, the skills as weapons, and you start talking about that, you know, 11 o'clock at night. That makes for a real awesome night's sleep.
Oh, yeah.
And then to wake up. With this morning, I'm like, oh, my God, you were totally using the tools as weapon against yourself. So when I say using the tools as weapons, this is a great example, Angie. Thank you for sharing that you use it against yourself. This isn't even like how to win a fight. This is how to fool yourself.
Oh, yeah. And may I point out, nobody wins in the fight when it's against yourself.
Yeah, right? Yeah, nobody's winning. Nobody's taking home the trophy. You just all suck.
Uh-uh.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Well, thank you. That is a really great place to start. And that's one of the ways to make sure you don't go further in your healing, right? Isn't that
absolutely
the genius level there of self-sabotage?
Well, and so, nobody can accuse me of being dumb.
Hey, that's how you win. You use tools against yourself and you get the award for not being dumb. Ding dong. I love that. Oh, God. I'm telling you what, this should be done at happy hour so I can have a glass of wine instead of a cup of coffee.
Just drink yourself a mimosa.
Right? Oh, my gosh. The chat room is growing exponentially by the moment. Yay. Welcome. So here is an example for those of you who are like, what the hell are they even talking about? What that means is, this means that say one of the skills you learn along your hurt healing process is, I'm going to learn about my emotions. I'm going to learn how to express them. I'm going to learn that they're not dangerous. It's okay to express them. And I'm going to be okay emoting. Like that, say that's the skill that you've got, okay? Well, you're really uncomfortable, super uncomfortable with taking physical action, okay? So your physical pillar is off. Your physical engagement is off. So what happens is every time physically you should take an action, call a client, you know, book a session, go for a walk, take care of your body, you use an emotional reaction to say, oh, I can't go walking with my coach today. You see, I've got to cry, and I have emotions, and I'm committed to expressing my emotions, so I got to cancel my session because I'm listening to my emotions. Do you see it? Okay. So that's one example of it. Another example is you become aware of your thoughts and your mind process, and you know how you go to your head. And so every single time that – I got to love the sarcasm. So every single time that a spiritual experience comes into your space, you go to your head to avoid the wonder and the magic of a spiritual or energetic experience, and you go to analyzing it and giving it solidity in your mind. Okay? These are the ways. This is what happens when you use the tools against yourself. Those are just a few examples. But I will admit, when I see somebody do that, that's one of the landmines of coaching. When somebody is using skills that they learned to completely sabotage themselves, that's when the landmines to step into with somebody, because they will defend that they are right about doing the skills right for all it's worth, because now they found a way to look like they're doing it right to hide what they don't want to address. Yeah, that's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have anything to add to that before we go on to the next one?
Well, it's interesting that you said that when they're using the tools of weapons against themselves, they will defend. I've seen clients defend to the end, like to the drop over exhaustion, last minute of the session, they're still defending it because they're unable to see how they're actually hurting themselves, because they are the tree. They are inside the battle that they're creating for themselves. And I've been watching The 100 recently. I'm in season 3, and it's all about revolution, war, battle. And every single character who is leading an aspect of the war says, I did what I thought was right.
Wow, yeah.
And every time they stand in front of somebody and they're defending their position as the leader of this war, that they did something right, the person that they're saying it to is the person that has felt the injustice or has been hurt or has lost their entire tribe because the other person decided that what was right for their people, it didn't matter if it was right for the other people. And I think that's what happens when we use these tools, these divine tools, as weapons against ourselves or another, it creates a war. It creates the energy of an unwinnable battle. It is a lose-lose situation.
Yes, it truly is. That's a great example. Thank you for sharing that. I don't watch that show. I don't watch that series, and so I'm glad that you can share that, because I'm like, huh? How does that apply? You know?
where are you going?
About Grey's Anatomy. You talk about the 100. There's some personal stuff. That lets you know our personalities just a little bit.
Because,
isn't that funny?
That is.
I'm like,
super
whoa.
Funny.
That is funny, isn't it? I love it. Okay, so here's an example. Well, let's see. Is that all that we want to talk about on that one? That I'm like, wait, is that all? Is there more?
Okay, so I revealed my sabotage. I don't think you revealed yours.
Oh, that's awesome.
Sneaky.
Oh, I know. I'm like, oh, what would that be? Sabotage. I am checking because I have a list of all these things that I've witnessed, and I am like, Oh, I know mine. It is actually kind of using the tools as a weapon against myself, is I use accountability. I go into over accountability for everything. It's kind of like the God's eyes thing. You see in your God's eyes what somebody's intention was, but you overlook their behavior and you don't hold them accountable.
Mm-hmm.
And with me, I'm like, well, I can be accountable for everything. I can see their pattern play out. I can see their self-sabotage. I can see all of it. And I don't hold them in the space of getting freaking accountable. I just am like, yeah, I see how that all played out. All right, are we done yet? Like, and so I take it on. I take that on and just look, I go overly accountable. And instead of saying, that's not mine to be accountable for, so I'm going to sit back in my accountability and address what's actually mine to address and allow somebody to be in their confusion, to be in their unawareness that they are the tree, to be, if I don't, I don't hold that for them very well. And that's probably, yeah, that's got to be discomfort in their discomfort, right? Isn't that what I would be avoiding? That feels like what that is I'm saying, okay, this is going to suck watching you go down this path. So, I'll kind of get us accountable by not making you, which is a word I don't like, maybe you can help me rephrase that, by not making you have to face what you've done or what you've created. Does that make sense?
Totally makes sense to me.
Yeah, because I don't do, and it's not even self-blame like shame on me. It's a space of, oh, I see how that all played out. Like, I can watch how the engine is working inside of it, and instead of addressing the, you know, where it needs to be greased or where it needs to be tightened or whatever, and making that person tighten their own belt, I'm like, oh, yeah, I can see what's going on already, so I'm going to just, you know, I'll deal with it. It's not that I do their work for them, but I just don't make them be in that discomfort. Yeah, mm-hmm. I could see that I do that. Yeah, it's awesome. I love that it's like, those are fighting words to say, reveal your sabotage. Well, I don't know. I know we've thought about them in the past, but that's why we're such good people for each other. We don't fight about that. Like, Jen, you're. I think you're fooling yourself. I'll be like, huh? I am? I am? Oh, this ought to be a fun treasure hunt.
Well, and there was a day that I would have been scared out of my wits to say, well, Jen, I shared mine. What's yours? You show me yours, I'll show you mine.
Right.
I would have been really scared to say something like that because in the past it hasn't always been pretty. When we have started talking about how we do our own stuff, and we've learned over the years.
Yeah, we have. You know, one of the things that I love that I've learned from Steve Chandler is really great about this is the power and the gift of holding somebody accountable and how it doesn't make you right, but that if people don't know how to get themselves to that space where they can even see what the hell they're doing, that there is no progress. There is no healing. There is no, you know, coaching actually happening. It's just, that's when somebody becomes the teller and the answer person instead of the guide so that somebody can find their own answers. And so that's what the difference is for me. I mean, that's kind of a self-learning piece for me is, I absolutely, it doesn't matter if I have the skill. I'm, you know, telling somebody the skill, and this is one of the other things I have on the list, okay? So one of the things that I see people sabotage, and then I'll wrap it around to it, is convincing yourself that intellectual knowledge is all that you need to claim mastery. Oh, my God. That ripple almost punched me in the chest. I know. Okay. So I'm going to say that again. Convincing yourself that intellectual knowledge is all that is needed to claim mastery. So what happens is, and I used to do this, honestly, when I was a beginner coach, I total 100% admit own it, beginner coach, I needed to learn more and more and practice more and more. And so this is what it was, is I've got all this knowledge. I really do. And I would share all the knowledge, but I didn't actually step back and create a space for the client to practice and apply that knowledge to themselves. I shared the knowledge, and I made the assumption that people did their own work.
It's shocking when you discover it's not happening.
No, Angie, you know this about me. Like, if I get a homework assignment from my coach, I am on it. I'm in that assignment. I am like, yeah. I mean, number one, I paid a shit ton of money for that assignment. Mm-hmm. Number two, I'm committed to my healing. Number three, the coach gave me the assignment. They're not going to go do the work and show up with my assignment complete next week when I report in and get accountable. So to me, I can't even fathom why somebody wouldn't do their own assignment, why they wouldn't do their own work, why they wouldn't mm-hmm. apply the skill that was given to them to their life and see how it went and have an experiment and get feedback and make changes and adjust and decide if it applies to them. It doesn't actually happen in my brain that way, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm not one of those people that lies that they went and worked out when they report back to, you know, Weight Watchers. I don't do it. I look at them and go, yeah, I didn't go to the gym once. Like, no. I just don't. I'll own it. It's that accountability thing. I'll totally own it. I have no problem owning it. I won't lie about that. But shocking as it may be, And this truly has been a complete eye-opener for me, is that not everybody does that. So I found that I was having people who could intellectually recite perfectly what I had told them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And some of the really skilled people could recite it back to me and make it sound like they had experience attached. But truthfully, they had witnessing attached.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference. There's a big difference, people. I'm telling you what, I can witness Grey's Anatomy, but you bet your ass I'm not picking up a scalpel. Not going to happen. Nope. Okay? And that's the mentality. Oh, my gosh, I've been listening to Jen and Angie for years. I'm totally a life coach. I can do what they do. I give people advice all the time. Fuck. That's all I got to say about that. No. So that's one of the things. And that's where the metaphor I used, I think it was yesterday on the show, about being in the driver's seat. And having, if you're going to learn to drive, you can't have a coach or a teacher that sits in the driver's seat the whole time, and you're in the passenger seat watching it, and then suddenly you think you actually have all those skills that you've witnessed. It does not work. No. It creates horrible, horrible messes. So there is another thing for you to be aware of. Make sure that the intellectual knowledge, the whatever it is, you know, the emotional witnessing you do, the spiritual witnessing, the intellectual witnessing, okay? I mean, every single bit of it, make sure that you're practicing it. Because if you're not, it's just a nice idea. As Brené Brown says, until it's in the bones, it's just a nice idea. But here's what I have to say. Until you have incorporated it in every single aspect of your humanity, it's not in your molecules, and your molecules are what create, so be sure you apply it to everything that you do, and that's how it gets in your molecules, and that's how it stays. And so that's what I have to say about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've noticed, I posted I guess they call them memes these days. I call them image quotes. That I posted just this week before you launched this series of shows about how we sabotage our own healing. A meme that says, which is a quote from one of the things that I have done in the past,
Healing is the practice of continually taking leaps you have never before imagined into territories unknown through a series of choices that are unique to your process. And the pivotal statement in that is the taking leaps. You actually have to take the action. The picture that it's posted on is of a woman who looks like she's literally getting ready to jump off a cliff.
Yeah.
She can stand there at the edge of that cliff looking like she's going to leap off the cliff, but she will not gain the experience of what it feels like unless she actually does it. And and I know that you and I, Jen, we both have the commitment to support our clients in experiencing their life so that they can actually live it rather than observe it. And the number one sabotage technique that I have seen in my clients over the years has been this ability to look at their healing as if they are healing, not actually taking the steps to heal, not actually integrating that intellectual information that's in their head to actually become a master of their healing. Instead, they hear you or me talking about a fabulous tool, and because they've heard it, then they're suddenly jumping over to mastering instead of actually literally jumping off the cliff and living that tool. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. It makes total sense. And, I had a memory.
I think, Jennifer, are you still here with us?
Well, I'm here. Are you
Did
here?
You mute yourself?
No, I'm here.
Okay, so I'm going to keep talking
and
trust that Jen's going to come back and that all y'all can hear me. So...
okay, so am I here
what
now?
What Jen was saying was talking about how when you are working with a coach, the action that you take once you leave that session is what begins the process of integrating the information. Integration in healing work is the most important step, and that integration comes through action. Look at it as if, for those of you in my network, I have a lot of healers and a lot of massage therapists. And when a tendon or a ligament is torn and injured, then when it's injured, to heal it, it must be healed in movement with the tendons and the ligaments.
Angie, can you hear me
because
now?
Because when they are healed in stillness, they get hard and stiff, and then they don't function right. So when you want to heal, you want to take action in what it is you've learned. Jen was talking about sabotaging through intellectual mastery. And for me, that means that I've sat with a client, I've talked to her about the pattern that I'm seeing. One of the specific patterns that keeps coming up for me this week is the ability to detach oneself from the experience. And I think that was coming up for me because my number one sabotage is... my number one sabotage is being able to divide myself. So
okay, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
I don't know. I'm not hearing anything. I don't know if you're hearing me. Someone in the chat room is saying that they can hear us, but I can't hear Jen. And
Angie, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I don't know if anybody can hear me.
This is hysterical because I'm on the line.
This is awesome. How does it get any better than this?
Okay. I guess.
Oh, how funny. So Charlene and Lauren can hear both
hilarious.
Of
us so
in the chat room.
They can hear us, but I can't hear them. Okay.
You can't hear me.
I'm going to call back in.
Oh, my gosh, right. People. Bye. This is professionalism 101 right here. So I'm going to assume you can hear me in the chat room. Say yes if you can hear Jen talking. This is awesome. I was going to say, nothing happened on my end.
Okay.
I love that. I did try to call back in and see what was going on, and apparently the chat room can hear me, so that's happy. Oh, my goodness, how confusing. Oh, sorry about that. Tech support's on the line. I'm here again. I can hear Jen. Oh, my gosh. How does it get any better than that? Let's turn you back on, Angie. I'm turning you on, babe. I can hear you fine. Yeah.
Curious what happened there.
Yeah, that was fun. I don't know how you couldn't hear me. They said they could still hear me, so I still hung up, though. But we're good now, right?
I think so.
Good grief. Not had that on the show for a long time. How fun are we? How does it get any better than that?
Well, I'm curious what needs to come through, that because you and I have worked together long enough that we know that when the phone demons start acting up, that there's something that's trying to come through. That
right.
And one or both of us aren't hearing.
So I wonder what it was. What were you, what was coming through you?
Well, I was piggybacking on what you had said about the intellectual mastery and how we choose to look at our healing as though we are an observer rather than actually doing it, then we actually never integrate it. It never lands in our body.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Huh. Anything else come through? Is that it? I can see where it relates to one other thing I wanted to talk about, but I don't know if that is what's, you know.
Go.
Okay.
Did she go?
Okay.
Okay, go. I'm like,
Go.
Away
did she go away again? I love it. Okay, so here's the other side of that. And this is, I mean, yeah, I'm glad that we talked about the intellectual side and believing it's mastery, but this kind of piggybacks on that, and that is mistaking temporary relief as permanent change.
Mm-hmm.
And so somebody will have a nice idea, or they'll learn one concept, and they will think, because, oh, that brought relief. And so they will stop their progress. They'll stop doing their work. They'll stop doing their healing. They'll stop doing their sessions, whatever it is. And I see this a lot, actually, in the work that Charlene does as a massage therapist. You know, I know that Lori's seen it as a chiropractor. I know Sherry talks about it in her cranial sacral work and massage therapy. In the physical body, they see it a lot, where people only come when they're in crisis, which we did a whole series of shows on, and where it is a matter of, oh, I felt so much better. Okay, that's good. And people will choose to think that's permanent, but they don't realize that maybe it's their computer where it is, or maybe it's the shoes they're wearing, or maybe it's, you know, how they're sleeping at night or something that's causing that. And that goes back to the metaphor of the knot. Something they are doing is creating the knot, the physical discomfort, the emotional constipation, the intellectual, you know, illusion of mastery, the spiritual, oh, I feel so good, it's all better. And then they quit. They don't look at what created the problem. They look at the relief that they had. They look at, oh, okay, that's fine. All right, well, I got that relieved. That's so great, okay? And so they stop. Or they say, well, I feel better physically. What are you talking about? I have emotional stuff to address. And they don't do the rest of the work. They don't do their work. They don't do their homework, like stretches and, you know, emoting. And I know every time I get in a fight with my husband, my jaw locks up. Well, have you figured out how to communicate with your husband? No, I just come see you. What the hell? Uh-huh. Like, you know what creates it. So why are you choosing to create it instead of, you know, going into crisis management, as I call it, or, you know, relief of the symptoms? You have a choice. And so that is one of the things that I highly recommend for people, is to get more curious beyond that immediate relief. In fact, the best time to look at stuff is when you're in relief. And here's why. The pain isn't blocking you. And you are actually more open to more awareness to come through.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big sabotage pattern. I have seen it so much. So much in client work and you know, no, I feel relief. It's fine. Oh, I'm doing pretty good. I don't need a session this week. And it's like, oh, my gosh, really? Are you... Do you only come see me when you're in crisis? What's going on? It's much gentler to look in relief. Yeah, that's what Lori says.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we look at that as a sabotage pattern, at what point, I really want to invite people to consider, at what point do you start putting these things in place? Because these are all, yeah, great sabotage patterns. And you might think, well, I can see where I do that one. Oh, I don't do any of these they've talked about. I must be good. Okay, whatever it is, mm-hmm. just look at when does this one show up? When does that one show up? Because for myself, you know, one night I woke up, my hand was asleep. All right, I'd been laying on it wrong. Okay, the next night, woke up, my dang arm, my, like, elbow down was asleep. I was like, oh, my God, it took forever for it to wake up. Yeah. So guess what? Yesterday, I'm like, I come into Sherry, and I'm like, my arm is tingly. I heard my body. I need to actually get some support for this. I did it myself. It was just like, oh, it must have been I slept on it wrong. And then it happened again. Oh, I must have slept on it wrong. And then I went, wait a minute. No, I have something to do here. I have some work to do. And so we worked on it. And you know what? There was immediate relief. And today, she said, so when are we going to do full body, take care of what's going on, because we got to follow it all the way up the line to get you completely in order, because something's pinched or something, you know, is there swelling in that place or whatever it is. And that is absolutely true. Yes, in the moment I needed immediate relief. However, there's a reason that numbness and tingling was happening in that one part of my arm. And even though she knew right where to go, okay, let's release that. Okay, you feel better. There's more work to do because there's something I'm doing that's recreating it. And so when I'm not in pain, would be a really great time to say, okay, it's time to get some body work done, instead of letting the pain make me get body work done, instead be in that willingness to receive care for my body without it having to be in pain to get me there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to that.
Mm-hmm. Well, this planet is the third dimension. It's the dimension of physicality. And it's dense. It's a really, mm-hmm. really heavy energy, and it's slow as slow can be. And because the physical energy, physicality of being human is so dense, it takes practice. When, and I love that you talk about finding where the beginning is, not the beginning of the knot, but what's the beginning of the process that gets the knot mm-hmm. in the line. Finding yeah. that beginning and shifting that, changing that. I have a great example from our past when Jen and I were in our some of our coaching training together, they taught us about a process called sourcing. And because I'm a wordy wordsmith, the word source means beginning. Well, I was going to the beginning. I was finding the reason why the knot was getting in the line. I was going, oh, yeah, look, that's what's happening. And that was all I was doing. I was missing the point of, oh, yeah, stop doing that. Stop making that choice. I was just like, oh, yeah, if I throw my line this way, it's going to get caught in a tree. Okay, I just know that's going to happen every time. Oh, look, it's caught in a tree. Oh, it's caught in a tree. Oh, and Jen finally said, well, as you find the beginning, then what? What are you doing? And I'm like, I'm acknowledging it. I'm accepting it. I'm owning it. I'm owning that I create this mess. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Are you going to change it? And it was like this moment of, oh, my God, I can change it? What?
Dense, yeah.
People. Humans are dense.
We're awfully cute, but we're not very smart.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just like when we learn to walk, we had to learn how to stand first. Our core muscles had to learn how to keep us upright, how to work with gravity, how to keep us standing still. And then we got really brave and decided what would happen if we lifted a foot. And we lift the foot, and oh, God, now we're going to topple back and forth, and oh, shit, I'm going to fall. We fall on our little diaper butt, and then we do it all over again until our muscles understood what it meant to stand and walk. The same concept as sabotaging your healing. If as a healthy baby, let me add that healthy in, because there are some children that can't learn to walk, but healthy children that learn to walk, if the very first time they fell on their butt, on their diaper butt, and they chose in that moment that they were never going to get up again because that falling on their diaper butt was scary and it hurt, they would never learn to walk. They would never heal.
Right. Right, and that's a great metaphor, because if you then, let's change this to the child falls, and the parent comes in and says, oh, that's never going to happen again. I'm never going to let you get hurt like that again. And we apply that to doing your inner work. That's when you create a guru that's going to tell you everything to do so you don't mess up.
Ugh.
They're going to save you from every mistake. I know it makes us both want to puke, but every mistake, every error, oh, I'm going to save you. Oh, your life is such a mess. You need me. Don't make any decisions without coming to get a reading from me. The stopping the child from learning just how to, you know, get up. I mean, we learn from failure more than we learn from success, because failure gives us a contrast. Failure says, hey, I didn't like how that turned out. I'm going to do something else. What am I going to change? And, God, there's so much in that. Woof! Dogs are excited. Woof! There's so much in that for us to learn from if we let ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you brought that up about parenting. I started watching the Parenthood series on Netflix, and Sarah, one of the main characters, has teenage children, and Amber, her oldest daughter, is a genius musician. It's in herself. Her dad is a musician, and Amber has begun writing music and playing, and is getting ready to do an open mic, and she's scared and she's nervous. And Sarah, who has supported Seth, Amber's father, through getting great in music, offers to sit and listen to the song for the first time so that Amber could be comfortable with performing for an audience.
Right.
And the very first thing out of Sarah's mouth after Amber starts playing and singing like a mouse, which nobody in the front row is going to be able to hear her, let alone in the back of the room.
Right.
Amber's trying to figure out a chord on the guitar, and she keeps messing it up. And Sarah says, well, maybe you don't do the part, that part. The rest of the song is beautiful. Just don't do that part. You're going to be really nervous on stage. You're going to get up there in those lights, and it's going to be scary, and you're going to be nervous, and people are going to be watching. And she just starts dumping all of her fear on Amber. And Amber goes, the next morning, wakes up and says, by the way, I'm not doing it. I'm not going. Completely shut down Amber's process because, as mom, she wanted to save her from the pain of being human based on her lessons as a human 20 years ahead of Amber. So eventually Sarah got really accountable and sat down with Amber and said, I'm realizing that I'm wanting to save you from the pain that you may never even experience because I experienced pain myself. And it's not fair.
Yeah.
I look at you and see so much of you, and this applies for tuning because every client that sits in front of me, I see me in them.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't come to me because they're looking to heal their whatever it is so they can make the scoring touchdown for the NFL because that doesn't align with me. They come to me because they're looking to heal abuse. They're coming to me because they're looking to remember who they are because that's my path. And if I sit in front of them and go, okay, now you're not going to want to do this because when I did this, you know, it killed me. It ruined my process. I never healed from it, blah, blah, blah. So that's one way as healers, because I know that you have in your network as well a lot of healers. If we're showing up for our clients in our shit and putting it on them, then they don't move forward in their healing.
Yes. Absolutely. Which is why, being consciously aware of who you choose to support you, as I spoke about on Monday's show, is so important. So
absolutely
important. And so be clear about that. You know, is it about your forward motion? And as healers, I will add, do your own damn work. Do your work. You know, to get the support you need. Have your own sessions. You know, if you're a coach and you don't have a coach, you got to ask yourself, what about you doesn't need to improve? And how do you expect your clients to come to you to improve if you don't invest in your improvement, if you don't for yourself? That's always there. It's why, you know, different industries have continuing education programs that's required for them to continue serving people. It's because it is necessary. And so don't sabotage yourself by thinking because you've now achieved a certain level of what you're offering other people that you don't need to go beyond that and do your work. As I've said a million times on this show, you can only take your clients as deep and through as deeply as you have been willing to go yourself. And so do yourself and your clients, if you are of service, the honor of going deep so that you can support them, going into whatever the core of how the hell are you creating the knot in your line. Don't just cut the line. Yes, you got to have the skills to know how to cut the line. You got to have skills how to untie a knot. But have those skills on board and look at how you keep creating it so you can stop creating it and you make changes so you create different outcomes. That's the juice that is available to us.
I just heard something. So you learn how to untie the knot. You learn how to cut the line. Then you learn how to stop getting the tangle in the line in the first place because you learn what's creating the tangle and you change your behavior that leads to that tangle. that applies to everything in your life, not just untangling a marriage or untangling an unhealthy relationship. Okay, it applies to how do you do your money? How do you do your house? How do you do your business? How do you do your work if you work for someone else? All of it. You find yourself in a kerfuffle. What are the steps? What were the choices that were made to get to that kerfuffle? And in the graphic design world, we call it reverse engineering. What's the end result you want, and how do you get there?
Yeah, that reverse engineering, if you're willing to do that all the way, you will have great, great results in your healing work. But if at any point you notice you're dodging or avoiding or being in denial or projecting or blaming one of the steps on somebody else, that's where you're going to sabotage. That's a great one to end on. Yeah, that's a great one to end on. I love this, and I love this conversation, Angie. It's been fun just to have a chat on the air, even though the phone lines apparently went ghosty on us. But thank you so much for being willing to join me. And you know, this is it is who we are, and you being my person and me being yours, we show up with each other all the time. And as we've gone through, you know, talking about these different sabotage patterns, we all have them. To think you don't have a way that you trick yourself is a really great way to set up a big butt kicking later on.
It's the sabotage. It's the sabotage. You think you're not sabotaging yourself. Right there.
So true. So true, which is why it's such a gift to have an outside perspective supporting you. It's such a gift. So thank you so much, Ange, for being here. I really do appreciate it. I love having you in my life, and I appreciate you very much.
Aww, thanks for having me, Jen.
And tell people where they can find you, either your website or Facebook, whatever. How can they find you?
My website is angiemilgate.com, which is angiemilgate.com. And you can also find me on Facebook.
Awesome. And y'all know where you can find me, jenhalterman.me, and I appreciate you being here. Thanks to the chat room for the entertainment, for being here. So excited to have everybody together and interacting in Facebook messages and all. I really appreciate you all being part of Lighten Up. And, oh, my goodness, I am so ready for a weekend. I hope it's a peaceful one and a playful one and a lighthearted one. That's my intention, Angie. How's your weekend going to be?
My weekend's going to be submerged in writing for the get the book out of me. Yeah.
Sweet. Well, very good. Happy writing and a happy, peaceful weekend, everybody. And thank you so much, Angie. I will be in touch with you soon. For those of you who are regular listeners, thank you for being here. Thanks for sharing the show. And those of you who are new, I appreciate that you are here. Thank you. And feel free to email me with questions or comments at lightenupwithjen@gmail.com. And I will talk to you all next week. Who knows what the topic will be? We'll find out together. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to Lighten Up with Jen and Sherry. To find out more about Sherry's craniosacral and massage therapy practice by checking out her website at www.bodywisehealthcare.com. BodyWise is nourishment for the mind, body, and being. If you're part of an organization that could benefit from my dynamic, engaging public speaker for your next live event, or if you'd like to find out more about her programs offered, Jen can be reached at her website, www.jenhalterman.me.